You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Oakland Athletics. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com, and I'm joined by Jane Lee, who covers the A's for MLB.com. Jane, in the wake of the trade deadline, are there goals that Bob Melvin and Billy Beane have down the stretch, players they want to see, things they need to learn in these last 2 months?
Yeah, I think there is a lot to accomplish in the last 2 months, even though, you know, they really won't be contending here. They do have a lot of young guys they want to take a look at, guys like Aaron Brooks, who made his debut and was really, really excellent for them in his start a couple days ago. You know, guys like that, to where they are looking toward next year and beyond, and they want to see what pieces they have, you know, for next year. And, you know, you look all over and you really don't know what this team is going to look like next year. There's so many young guys, you know, they're still trying to figure out, is Marcus Semien the right answer at shortstop? You know, pieces in the outfield. And, you know, especially in the starting rotation now, they have all these young guys, you know, with Kazmir departing and Jesse Hahn being on the disabled list. So it's kind of about evaluating a lot of the young talent and also hoping that guys like Coco Crisp and Sean Doolittle return at some point. Coco's actually expected back very soon. And Doolittle, within the next month, they believe. And, you know, just getting those guys on the field. And I know for Sean especially, I think, you know, there's a lot to pitching and pitching healthy and pitching well and going into the offseason with a good feeling. You know, same for Coco. He's been dealing with a lot these past couple years. And, I mean, he could be back with this team next year. So, you know, I think they need to see those two guys healthy and, you know, take a look at what they have so that they can decide, you know, what their plan is for the near future and beyond. Because, you know, when Billy made these trades these past couple weeks, you know, every time he was asked, do you expect to contend next year? His answer was, I don't know. You know, he just doesn't know what he has. And it might take until, you know, the end of the season and into the offseason for them to really figure out what they're working with here.
Yeah, and I think it's important for us to know that this was not a roster blow-up. These were future free agents he traded. It seemed like he wanted to keep the core of the team that basically, just judging on what he did, he still likes his team. You think I'm reading that wrong?
No. I mean, he was very adamant when he was making these trades. You know, every time he was asked if more were coming, you know, he was kind of forward about saying, you know, we don't plan to trade any guys that are expected back next year. And I know that it's tough for fans to see, you know, a pitcher of Scott Kazmir and Tyler Clippard's caliber go and Ben Zobrist, but I think they also have to realize in 2 months, you know, they were going to go anyway. And it was a matter of whether the A's were going to get something back for them or not. And so, you know, as disappointed as it was for them, you know, Billy would tell them, well, you're going to be mad at me at the end of the year, too, when they go and I don't get anything for them. So I think that was important for them to be realistic about their situation and get something in return. And they netted, you know, 5 really good prospects from those deals. And normally when they, you know, they make moves, and I think people were expecting them to bring in either big league ready or close to major league ready players to help immediately and next year, and they didn't do that. You know, they've kind of strayed from what they normally do in realizing that, you know, maybe we should, you know, put guys that do have more upside, even if, you know, they're a ways away from being in the big league. So that's why you're seeing so many low or high A guys, but with real big upside that could be, you know, big pieces for them in the future.
The A's are 11-25 in one-run games, and there were a lot of reasons people like me thought they were going to get back in it at some point. But that's just a bizarre number. It can't reflect anything other than luck. How do you look at 11-25 in one-run games?
Yeah, I mean, some of it is luck, but you do look at their bullpen issues early in the year, and that really did hurt them, and some of the errors, too. You know, they have gotten better in both areas. Their bullpen's still not a big strength, but, you know, the bullpen, is responsible for nearly 20 of their losses, which is a big number. And, you know, they do play in close games, you know, because their offense really isn't going to, it's not expected to put up a bunch of runs. So, but they have, you know, the starting pitching to keep them in games. So you're seeing all these close, low-scoring games. And, you know, their bullpen, which was one of their biggest strengths, if not the biggest of theirs in the last 2 or 3 years, you know, it just, I mean, relievers are so volatile. You see it everywhere. So guys we were used to seeing doing so well for them, guys like Dan Otero, Ryan Cook, Eric O'Flaherty, you know, they're having off years. I mean, Cook was sent to the minors and he's since been traded to Boston. O'Flaherty was designated for assignment this week. You know, Otero's back in the big leagues, but still kind of struggling to find that consistency. So I think the bullpen was, you know, a major downfall for them this year. And I think they'll be the first to admit it too. I mean, Melvin has alluded to that, after a lot of those one run losses. And I know a lot of those, you know, luck does come into play, but when you've played nearly 40 of those games, you know, there is something else to it. And I think that, you know, this year the bullpen and a lot of the defensive mistakes did end up hurting them.
Jesse Chavez has a history of struggling after the break. I think his career ERA is 3.72 before, 5.97 after, and he struggled a little bit lately. Any explanation for why his second half of his seasons aren't as good as his first? And his first are pretty good.
Yeah, they're excellent. I mean, last year he was putting up all-star numbers. And, you know, last year there was an explanation. That was his first season as a starter, full season as a starter. So his body, his arm just wasn't used to the innings. And, you know, he went into the off-season with that in mind and really changed his off-season routine and, you know, was eating a ton. I mean, you look at the guy, he's there's not much on him. So he was, you know, eating like crazy, put on 10 pounds, and, you know, came into spring training, you know, with that added weight, hoping to keep it on throughout the season. You know, it's, I don't know that he's fatigued or he's tired. He says physically he feels great. Right now he thinks it's just maybe something mechanically or maybe something mental or a little bit of both. And he's just kind of in one of those stretches right now where he's struggling. But I don't think there's concern. I mean, you still look at him and you look at his stuff and it's there. It's just, you know, putting it all together. And he just hasn't been able to do that these past few times. But, you know, I know a lot of people are questioning, you know, is he fatigued? This always happens. But really, it did happen last year, and there was a reason for it. And, you know, I think the A's do want to see what he can do with a full season as a starter. So I think it's important for him, you know, going back to all these things that, you know, they want to see in the second half. You know, and it's just as much for them as it is for Jesse, you know, being able to prove himself, you know, as someone who can, you know, maintain, you know, his place in the rotation for a full season.
Billy Burns has been a real positive for the team. Is this what they expected of this guy? What did you know about Billy Burns until he came up and started doing this crazy stealing bases and all this other stuff?
Yeah, I mean, everyone knew he was fast. We knew he had speed. You know, he finds his way on base a lot of times because of that speed. But it's pretty remarkable what he's doing. I don't think anyone could have expected, you know, this. Granted, the past month, he's kind of fallen back down to earth. But, I mean, it's a testament to the work he's put into. I mean, he wasn't always a switch hitter, and he did a lot of work from the left side during the off season into this season, and I think that's paying dividends for him. And, you know, he's a guy that, I mean, he's a contact guy, and somehow too can occasionally show some pop. But I mean, I really don't think anyone in the organization ever really expected this of him. I think they kind of viewed him as a potential you know, bench guy. You know, you want that speed off the bench late in games. But to see him starting, you know, in center field every day and starting in the leadoff spot. I mean, even when Coco Crisp comes back, Melvin has said the plan is to keep Burns in the leadoff spot and Crisp in the two hole. just because you can't ignore what he's done. And, you know, you want to keep him there because he has been such a spark plug for that lineup.
Okay, Jane, good stuff as always. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again.
All right, sounds good.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.